Welcome to the Business, Arts, Workforce, Climate, and Aviation Services Committee of Denver City Council. This session of the Business, Arts, Workforce, Climate, and Aviation Services Committee begins now.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Wednesday, November 20th, meeting of Denver City Council's Business, Arts, Workforce, Climate, and Aviation Services Committee. I'll be chairing the meeting today because our chair is out and will attend virtually. My name is Kevin Flynn. I represent Council District 2 in Southwest Denver, and I'm the vice chair of the committee. Let's have council members introduce themselves. I don't know if anyone is virtual yet.
Lewis.
No one?
Councilwoman Lewis.
Oh, okay. Let's start online with our chair.
Hi, everyone. Good afternoon. Chantel Lewis here. I'm council member for District 8.
Thank you. And clockwise starting on my left.
Cora Arbitres, Lucky District 7.
Sandoval, Northwest Denver District 1.
Diana Romero Campbell, Southeast Denver District 4.
Gilmore, District 11.
Thank you. We have no action items today. We have five items on consent that will go forward at the end of the meeting, unless there's objection. But we are getting a briefing on workforce development from Tony Anderson, the Chief Workforce Development Officer at DEDO, Department of Economic Development and Opportunity. Thank you. Take it away.
Good afternoon. I feel like we're at the part in the calendar that I can say happy holidays. Can we say that?
Yes.
We can say happy holidays. So I'm going to say happy holidays. Always an honor to be here with you all. Appreciate the spirit in which we're here, which is a conversation. I'm anxious to be able to talk to you all about partnerships that we have across agencies and the work that we're doing with other agencies. Typically, I've been in front of you all talking about our division work, kind of in a silo here, and so excited to have a broader conversation about what workforce development efforts look like across the city and across other agencies. And the timing of this is actually really perfect, because in a couple days on Friday, we are bringing together, let me get all the acronyms here, a conversation with DDPHE, Tech Services, General Services, HRCP, CASR, Children's Affairs, Human Services, Parks, Human Resources, the Airport, the Library, and Office of Social Equity and Innovation to have this conversation about workforce development, to really define what it means to do workforce development. These are the agencies that stepped forward and said, we think we are doing workforce development. So we need to understand and align on exactly what that means. We're going
you
to use
a couple acronyms for the folks watching.
Sure.
DDPHE and CASR, just tell the audience watching what they are.
CASR, Climate Action, Sustainability, and Resiliency, mm-hmm. and DDPHE, Department of Public Health and Environment.
Excellent. Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you. And please call me out on my alphabet soup as we go
along. We all fall into that habit.
Throw those around loosely as we talk about this work. But again, in a couple days, we get to kind of bring all of this together, or at least begin those conversations. And what we're really trying to get out of that, or at least start that, is of course defining what it is to do workforce development and really taking an inventory across all agencies, looking at, okay, what are the programs that you're offering? How many folks are you serving? What are the target audiences? Are there targeted audiences? What is your budget? What are the types of services? How are you tracking that? What kind of data are you collecting? Because it is, my wish here that when I come to you all in the near future to provide an annual overview of workforce development efforts, it's no longer just at a division level. And I'll go back to the division and remind you all, and Councilman Flynn, I appreciate you calling out our acronym, which is the agency that we get to sit underneath, which is Denver Economic Development and Opportunity. And as you look at the division that is workforce development, we are made up of six individual business units that work together to allow us to deliver workforce development in the hybrid approach that we do offer workforce development. Hybrid being we offer direct services through our virtual services and through the three workforce centers that are across the city. We have teams that are meeting daily with our job seekers, with our priority populations, with our employers who are guiding us as to what occupations, skills, and credentials actually matter to their industry and to their business. And so we are, again, kind of daily meeting with employers and job seekers. And then we're taking that information from our employers and not only telling our job seekers that are accessing services through the workforce centers and online, but then we're investing into organizations that are delivering those services to develop that pipeline with a specific focus on our priority population. So we've got, I'll go to the next slide here. And so again, what I'm hoping is maybe one of the last times you see workforce numbers displayed as just a division level. This is our division level workforce numbers. So to give you an idea of kind of scope and scale of the work that we are doing, we're serving just over 20,000 individuals on a yearly basis. The majority of those individuals are utilizing our services at a virtual level. They're using our system of record, our labor exchange system, I should say, Connecting Colorado to connect to jobs. They're coming online using our virtual tools. And then over 7,500 folks are engaging with us at the in-person level. So we've got over 7,500 folks that are walking through the doors of our workforce centers that are coming to our job fairs and our recruitment events. So we call those individuals those that are receiving staff-assisted services. And then we're serving over 1,000 employers over a 12-month period. Those employers are posting over 160,000 jobs in that system of record, which is Connecting Colorado. And a number of those employers are showing up to the more than 400 in-person recruitment and job fair and connection events that we have. And then the hybrid approach to service delivery for us is that outsourcing and our funded family of partners. So we currently have just over $17 million that is funding 24 unique contracted vendors. Majority of those vendors are local nonprofits and community-based organizations that are working with very specific priority populations with the intent of providing pathways for those individuals to employment training and really specifically those industry recognized credentials that our key industries are telling us are needed to show them that these folks have the skills necessary to compete and get jobs within their industries. But enough about us. Again, that's just a reminder, that's who we are as a division, where we sit as an agency. But today is the first time that I've had a chance to talk to you all about how we are partnering with these other agencies. And again, with a caveat that we are going to try and move some of these partnerships that are somewhat siloed between our division and their division and agencies and move that to a collective conversation that will kick off on Friday. So exciting times for us. But right now, just kind of currently as it stands, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of partnerships across the city and across agencies. And I wanted to take some time today to talk through those, answer any questions that you might have on those partnerships, listen to you all and get advice of other partnerships that you think we should be engaged in, other folks we should be talking to. So hopefully we can engage in that conversation as I get through this. But I don't think there's any particular order. I thought it was alphabetical, but then it gets a little wonky at the end. So no particular order here. These are some of the agencies that we're working most closely with and partnered with. And I think it's appropriate that we do start with climate action, sustainability, and resiliency, because we have an incredibly strong partnership with CASR, as you all know, with the Climate Action Fund. Some of those dollars are dedicated to workforce development, so it is imperative that we are aligned with climate action, sustainability, and resiliency, and we are most certainly that. And so some of the examples of our partnership with our friends at CASR is a grant that we were awarded together, that we wrote together, which I think sets a really great model for how we work with agencies moving forward and kind of aggressively pursuing outside dollars that we can bring in and push out towards workforce development. And Opportunity Now is one of those examples. So this is funding that is coming from the state of Colorado through the Office of Economic Development and International Trade. Our joint application with CASR, with a number of training partners and employers as partners in that grant application, was to bring dollars in to expand capacity for those educators that are training our young people and our adults in electric vehicle maintenance technician programming. And so we were awarded, alongside of CASR, $1.52 million. Those contracts will begin starting in January, with dollars going to Montbello Career and Technical High School, Warren Tech in the Jefferson Public School District. This is a regional grant application. Red Rocks Community College, Pickens Technical College, and a third-party boot camp called Ohm on the Range. So those five educators will be infused with some additional dollars that will help them train more folks and open up more pathways to careers in electric vehicle maintenance. Shared staff, that was actually a part of that grant. DETO being the Denver Economic Development and Opportunity, being the fiscal agent for that grant, with a lot of the work on the ground happening through a staff member at Climate Action Sustainability and Resiliency. So a true partnership that has us coming together almost daily on this grant. And then we're also exploring the possibility of Climate Action Sustainability and Resiliency putting a position within our workforce centers to be on the ground on a daily basis, advertising these incredible pathways into green jobs. And then, as I mentioned, with the Climate Action Fund coming in and those dollars being activated through CASR, some of that activation is happening through competitive procurement and the awarding and partnering with contracted vendors. And as an organization that contracts with 24 vendors, we really stay connected to ensure each of us knows who the other's partnering with. We help each other on RFPs because it's really obviously important that we are not duplicating efforts and duplicating funding, and that we don't have a bunch of dollars working in the areas that they do, and try to avoid stepping on each other's toes in that respect. We'll move to Denver Human Services. This has been a long-standing partnership. Obviously, the folks that we are trying to serve, the folks that are eligible for a lot of our programming and a lot of our funding, are folks that are eligible and or receiving human services programs, food assistance programs, cash assistance programs. Their receipt of those programs and services makes them automatically eligible for our programs and services. And so it's imperative that we have processes in place where we can refer folks from DHS over to us and vice versa. Excited to say we actually have some additional funding to help us with this. This funding coming through the state, through the Colorado Department of Labor and Employment. We received funding for the first time this year for a program called Paving Access to Careers and Employment Initiative. And the primary goal of that is to increase the number of individuals who are receiving public assistance in getting them connected to more of our workforce development program. So intentional programming, intentional funding that is bringing us together with human services, who again, didn't necessarily need that. We appreciate that, but we've been partnering with DHS for some time now. The Work Ready program is a really key example of that partnership. DHS's Denver Human Services oversight of the larger Denver Asylum Seeker Program, and our piece of that, Work Ready, being a component of the DASP program, has had us talking frequently throughout the year and throughout the months with Denver Human Services. And similar to Climate Action, Sustainability, and Resiliency, Denver Human Services, and specifically TANF, Temporary Aid for Needy Family Program, activates dollars to partner with local community-based organizations, nonprofits, resource providers, to try and remove barriers to try and get folks to employment. And so, again, similar situation here. We ask them to be a part of our RFP process. We ask, or they ask us to be a part of theirs, and at minimum, understanding who's funding what organization, so we are not duplicating dollars and able to spread out our dollars as much as possible to get the dollars in the hands of the many organizations that are really doing amazing work, is an important and key part of that relationship as it is with others. I really can't say enough about Denver International Airport and what they've meant to us and what they've done for us as a workforce division for longer than I've been here, which is 11 years. We have had a workforce center out to the airport. We are still only one of four cities across the entire nation that has a physical workforce presence at the airport. And obviously with Den being what it is to our economic development, not only in the city, but the state as the primary economic engine for this state, it is really advantageous for us to have physical space out there. Want to thank Mr. Washington and the airport. Not only do they provide us space, they also fund our positions. So we went to them a few years ago and said, hey, do you mind, you know, picking up the bill for the people that we have working in the airport? And without hesitation, they said yes. So, you know, for us who do not have dollars falling out of our pockets, when we can find free space and, you know, organizations that want to support our work, we jump at it. So excited for what we have been out to the airport and what we will be, which is a part of the new Center of Excellence and Equity in Aviation. We're just last week looking at the kind of final floor plans of that, and I'm so excited for this beautiful, shiny new space that we're going to have right as you enter the doors. There'll be a reception desk, and right behind that is going to be the Denver Workforce Center. And so, you know, I think that speaks to hopefully the value we bring to the airport, to the employers at the airport, and to the folks that are trying to get connected to careers out to Denver International Airport. And this new space at SIA is just going to allow us to do even more of what we're doing out there right now. And then also, I'd be remiss if I didn't kind of call out Den for their partnership in our Denver Construction Careers Program. As a reminder for you all, that is the ordinance that was passed last March that requires city-funded construction projects of $10 million or more to utilize registered apprenticeship at a 15% utilization rate, with target hire goals starting at 15%, scaling to 20% over the next few years, calling out hiring from our targeted neighborhoods, from our veterans, and from individuals who are coming through DITO's pre-approved apprenticeship and pre-apprenticeship programs. Den has been a huge partner from the outset, and the airport is actually one of a couple agencies where we have this partnership written down formally through service level agreements, specifically around Denver Construction Careers Program. So again, just can't say enough about the support that we get at Den. The library, great partners of ours. I'd say a really great example of kind of the most recent intensive program that we partnered on was our technology loaner program. And so as we were in the throes of the pandemic, we took what started as $600,000 of CARES Act funding and then turned into over $1 million with the success of this program. But one of the first things we did with those CARES funding was partner directly with the library and purchase over 1,000 devices and hotspots for individuals to be able to connect to everything at that time, as you know, was happening virtually. And so our tech loaner program allowed folks to go into their local branch library and check out a computer and or hotspot so they could connect to that. And kind of through that, that partnership has grown. We kind of, off the success of the loaner program, we turned around some other dollars and bought laptops and other devices, and were able to give those directly to folks that were working intensively through some of our programming. And then I think one of the things I'm most appreciative of what the library offers is that digital navigation. They do a really great job in helping us help folks do exactly what I talked about, connect to devices, and moreover, learn how to use those devices. And so great partnership there, and we're actually currently exploring just how we can have a stronger presence within the libraries. I think there's some low-hanging fruit that we have. We've got some banners that we have with a QR code that can get people directly in there, and we'll be scattering those around. But I think that's tip of the iceberg stuff that we can do in partnership with the library that can have them be a more consistent and stronger referral network into the programs that we offer. And I was actually just out in Las Vegas last month, and boy, do they have the model. They are incredibly integrated within their library system and gives us something to aspire to. So I expect us to be providing additional updates as that partnership grows the next time I have a chance to come in front of you all. Let's go to HRCP, Human Rights and Community Partnerships. We partner very closely with this agency through their financial empowerment work. So Jay Salas and the team over at Financial Empowerment are our go-to partners when it comes to financial literacy. So as we like to do with the majority of our workforce programs, I think it's fair to say all of our workforce programs, we want to make sure that this avenue exists for folks. This avenue being assistance in budgeting, in managing what we hope to be a larger paycheck and how we can start saving. And so HRCP and Financial Empowerment have been a great partner, as they have been with our work around Work Ready, and they're doing some of this work alongside of us and what we're trying to do for our asylum seekers. The Office of Human Resources, we exist to serve all businesses and all industries, and we are trying to partner with the best employers in the city to provide, you know, real pathways to great jobs and high wage jobs. And the city's one of them. The city is a great employer. I can attest to that. And so we have been really here in the last 12 months working directly with Office of Human Resources to try and provide more value to them and try and make sure that we are connecting the folks that are coming through our doors to these employment opportunities within the city. Part of that effort has been a train the trainer program that we've been doing, where Office of Human Resources are coming in and training our staff on how folks can best stand out through the process, what those processes look like, and then we're able to take that directly from OHR and coach our job seekers on how to stand out. And I'm super excited that we cracked the top four for the first time ever. So OHR tracks referrals and where those folks that are applying for those jobs are coming from. I really appreciate them adding us as one of them so we can actually track this. And as you can see here, we are now a top four source of candidates for all city positions, just behind Indeed, the city's own webpage, and LinkedIn. Now that percentage maybe isn't overwhelming, 6.8%, but it's a heck of a start for us and a huge improvement to where we were at. And we are committed to, again, be a good partner to not obviously exclusively pipeline folks into our city and our city jobs. But again, we feel strongly that the city is a high quality employer that provides the wages and benefits that we consider quality jobs, and we're really honored to be a really steady referral source to the city in those jobs. Excuse me. Office of Children's Affairs, again, another really critical partner of ours. Most recent example of that is through the Youth Works program that we launched last year for the first time. And as a reminder, Youth Works program was one who that was incentivizing retention of summer youth. And so this program was able to provide close to 700 young people with $1,000 incentives for hitting 120 hours of summer work experience. So we were able to, with our partnership with OCA, get almost $700,000 directly into the hands of those young people that were a part of that program. So you know we are looking to expand that program, serve even more folks this year. So YouthWorks, although the funding that funded it last year was one-time funding, the program is not a one-time program. We're going to scrape together dollars necessary to continue that program and continue to get dollars directly into the hands of our young people. Currently, we are an active participant in kind of a parallel process that Office of Children's Affairs is doing to ours, which is bringing together all agencies that are working with young people and having a joint conversation and developing joint strategy. And so we are a key piece of what will be our overall youth strategy, with workforce being called out as one of the three task force teams and buckets that we're going to be focused on with youth. And so, of course, myself and our division and human resources and others will be taking on and digging into the youth-specific side of workforce development, again, kind of as a part of that larger effort. And then lastly, you know, my Brother's Keeper was a program that I'm incredibly proud of. That was a partnership with Office of Children's Affairs. We were able to get those My Brother's Keepers participants paid work experience through the summer. And so, again, another example of what that partnership with OC, Office of Children's Affairs, has looked like. Office of Social Equity and Innovation. This is kind of goes back to that Tech Loaner program. That's when I would say this partnership really kind of kicked off for us in OSEI, and has led to this, what I again think is like the where we want to be, which is joint grant applications. So OSEI was the lead applicant, is the lead applicant in a $5 million grant that we are a part of, along with six other city agencies, to bring dollars in to do more of this digital equity work and the workforce development that surrounds it. So we are getting, we'll get, once we receive this award, we hope to find out before the end of the year whether or not we are awarded $5 million, again, collectively, OSEI being the fiscal agent, and then us, along with a couple other agencies, being the boots on the ground that'll be doing some of this work. That grant is coming from, I shouldn't even went there, an acronym that I'm not sure I know what it stands for. NTIA, the National Telecommunication I Association.
Sound good.
So, again, you know, I mean, these grant applications, as you all know, are a heavy lift. And especially when you don't get those grants, it's extremely deflating. But what we found here too is the magic is also in the application, is in hearing about what other people are doing. What do you do? What can you do best? How would you fit into a grant application? And I would say that has been absolutely true with this NTIA grant, and has brought us closer not only to the Office of Social Equity and Innovation, but other agencies, Denver Public Library being one. They're going to use some of those dollars to do more of the digital navigation, us stepping in and do some more of that credential training. So appreciate that partnership. As we do with the Office of Transportation and Infrastructure, again, this one is really tied to our work through the Denver Construction Careers Program. And so, as I mentioned, we passed a law that now sets these workforce requirements. Those percentages are based off of local data. And so this partnership with DOT, Office of Transportation and Infrastructure, kicked off more than 5 years ago and really allowed us to do that analysis that we needed on what registered apprenticeship utilization looked like already, what targeted and local hire looked like already, to allow us to set a goal that, again, was based off of what was happening, but also was intended to stretch that goal. And so Dottie has been a huge partner with us around Denver Construction Careers Program, and is one of these other agencies where we have a formal agreement through a service level agreement that really formalizes how we work together. General Services, again, connection to Denver Construction Careers Program. They have been one of the most engaged agencies in allowing us to do career exploration, job shadowing. And so General Services, and through some of our partners with Denver Construction Careers Program, has really been a great partner in, again, those kind of 1-2 day job shadowing. What does what do these kind of facilities jobs look like? And again, how can that flow up into great careers in construction? Technology services partnership is really tied to our Technology Employment in Colorado partnership. I'll talk briefly about what that is. Back in 2015, we applied for and received $6.3 million to train 600 individuals in very specific information technology and advanced manufacturing careers. This is H-1B funding, and so the government puts out these fees that it collects from employers who bring foreign talent in, and the intent of those dollars is to develop local talent. And so on the heels of a very successful round one funding, we applied for another $7.3 million, which we are just finishing up right now. That second phase of this grant ends in January, where we've exceeded our goals of training 750. We're up into 900 folks served. And then on the heels of that, we were just awarded last month another $5 million for the next 5 years to continue to expand this work and offer these pathways into very specific tech and advanced manufacturing jobs. Obviously, tech services being a key partner in the writing of the grant and the hiring of this tech talent that we're looking to develop. And then, forgive me, there's a couple on here that, as I was kind of going over my notes, I don't have in this slideshow. I can update that before we send that out, but that is Denver Public Health and Environment. And it really speaks to, I think, a conversation that we had recently around behavioral health. This kind of idea of the behavioral health workforce has brought us together very specifically with DDPHE, and they are now going to be joining our behavioral health sector partnership that we launched a few months ago. Sector partnership just meaning we bring businesses from that industry together and ask them what's keeping you up at night. One of the first things, if not the first, that comes out of their mouth is workforce development, and then we can dig into that. And so that sector partnership, no surprise, identified workforce development as a key barrier to growth for them. And we now have a task force dedicated to just workforce development. And again, idea being be informed with information directly from business, identifying that preferred network of training partners, and dedicating specific dollars and recruiting folks into a program that will build that behavioral health workforce. So that's a somewhat recent partnership with us, but it's going to be a good one, and they're the right people to have at the table. So excited to partner with Public Health and Environment. And then kind of lastly, housing and stabilization, our host team. Not represented on here, but we are very connected with, obviously just from a referral standpoint, I would say the most connection that we have with the host team is through the Denver DayWorks program. If y'all are familiar with that program, providing day labor opportunities to individuals experiencing homelessness. And our piece of that is to make sure that we are there for those individuals that are looking for more than day labor, who are ready for that next job, that next step in their career, to make sure that we can connect them to that. So again, forgive me for not including both of those agencies on this, but two partnerships that are important to us. And then the last slide here is just how you can get to us. Idea being we want to streamline thing. It's call, click, come in. One email will get you to our team, and then we'll get you to the right place. That's workforce@denver.org. One phone number, 337-WORK. And then obviously we always welcome anybody into the three workforce centers that we have downtown at the Webb Building in the Montbello neighborhood. Thank you, Councilwoman Gilmore and Councilwoman Lewis, for your all's partnership, and the Workforce Center at the airport, which I spoke about. So that is the information I have for you all today. Happy to talk about, dig into any one of those, or just have a broader conversation about workforce.
Thank you. I was going to say, is that all?
That's all. Yes.
Okay. Before we go to questions, I want to welcome Councilwoman at Large Parity. First question comes from Councilwoman Alvidres.
Thank you, committee co-chair. Thank you so much for all this information. I think obviously it was very high level, but it sounds like you guys are doing a lot of great work. Workforce development is super important to me. And I just had a briefing yesterday on a CASR program for green jobs with Lincoln Tech and yeah. Black Power. Yeah. And I think that's a good one to reference on your slides as well. Yeah. One of the concerns that I have as a DPS graduate myself is I've heard from many DPS graduates that they have a hard time getting a job with the city of Denver, and they're not getting access to a lot of jobs. I think that when, even for example, with my aid positions, very few DPS graduates made it through the hiring process. Mm. And when it comes to that live life experience of people that know my community, I think it's really important that we value that. And so something I would love to see, I know when the vice president was running for president, something she committed to was removing degree requirements where they don't need them. And I think that we as a city should really look at that and really honor that lived life experience if we're serious about elevating our most vulnerable people that live here in the city. And I think one hard thing for a lot of people is that they already have a job, or maybe they don't qualify for SNAP benefits or other things. And so we're missing a really important chunk of people that could use access to economic mobility from some of these training programs. So I want to flag that as something that I find very important. I also think that when it comes to, I appreciate Dottie in construction careers and the apprenticeship. I am assuming, because of my background in concrete, is that concrete isn't one that's normally part of that. It's really hard. There's not a lot of concrete apprenticeships. Mm-hmm. We're about to start this huge sidewalk initiative to put sidewalks all over the city. And so careers in concrete is something, as a construction professional, I feel like when we reached out in the past, there wasn't people that had that experience. In addition to that, I want to shout out the library, because they visit the tiny home community in my district and bring those technology services straight to that community. So I can vouch for that program. And lastly, the last actual question that I have besides feedback is, one, I would like a workforce center in Southwest Denver. Yeah. Two, I think that after COVID, there is a difficulty with workforce training in showing up to work, in what does it mean to have a job. And so I'm curious if that's something that you all are finding, because I think a lot of people want to get a job, but they have trouble showing up to work and meeting expectations. So curious about that.
I mean, the short answer is yes. We are absolutely seeing that. You know, desires to work remotely, work hybrid is a barrier, especially for those jobs that need you in person. And so I would absolutely agree wholeheartedly that there is a barrier there, and that we do need to help people work through that and understand that showing up to work and being someone willing to work 40 hours a week in person sets you apart from other people, and you need to lead with that. So I would say a lot of that work we're doing at the youth side, I mean, that's a lot of our kind of career readiness and job readiness training that we're doing for youth. So I'd say that's probably where most of that kind of workforce training and education is happening. But a couple things that you mentioned here too, and the feedback I'll take, and I think it's really great feedback, and about DPS, we've heard that directly, and it's a conversation that we are having and continue to have with Office of Human Resources, and maybe not necessarily just due to the Denver Public Schools side of the equation here, but just the idea of skills-based hiring is something we believe deeply in. We've done a lot of work with Skillful and the Markle Foundation on that. I think skills-based hiring and not just degrees off the top can do wonders for just opening your talent pool, for diversity, for inclusion, for equity for folks. So I would say that is a larger focus of ours that maybe wasn't catalyzed by the DPS thing, although I've heard that directly. And I would say to that, as you're hearing that and you're coming across constituents who are grads that are having a hard time, that's really why we tried to, are doing this project with OHR. We'd love to send them to us. And so we think we can be valuable in helping coach them to be able to show up better in this, you know, process that is city employment. So I would just offer that as you come across that. That program exists to try and help people connect to that. And then your comment on concrete and horizontal construction is absolutely spot on. And one of the things that we learned through that the pilot, and why you saw it wasn't on the slideshow, but we have two different requirements based on the construction type. Because what we found in that four-year pilot, there is, it's not ample because it needs to grow, there's a lot more registered apprenticeship that exists in vertical construction and, you know, all of that than there is in horizontal. And so we've got a 15% horizontal goal, but only a 3%, or I'm sorry, vertical goal, but only a 3% horizontal goal with that scaling up to 5% because we need to continue to develop more registered apprenticeship programs in horizontal construction. So you're absolutely spot on with that.
Great, thank you, I appreciate that. And I appreciate all your efforts and definitely would love to see that in future slides, how that progresses.
Yeah, and Workforce Center in Southwest Denver, let's talk.
All right, sounds good.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Committee Chair.
Thank you. There used to be one down there in Bear Valley.
Yes, there was.
Years back in the 80s.
Yep, there was.
Councilmember Hardy, your turn.
Yeah, thank you so much, Mr. Chair. So, and thank you for this briefing. I think my office requested it, although sometimes we all have the same idea at the same time. And I was listening online before I came in, so just so you know, I didn't miss anything. One thing I would love to see is if you have any kind of breakout of whatever kind of how many people go through these different kinds of programs, that would be really interesting to me, not to create work, but if there's an easy way to get that to us. Whether that's over the course of a year or whatever is easy. And then I'm curious about, I'm thinking through your agency partnerships, and I know that we're venturing more and more as a city into thinking about behavioral health pipelines and human services pipelines and all that. And so it makes sense that a lot of the strong existing partnerships are with like Dottie and General Services. I wondered about DHS and all of that, because I know they have challenging, you know, positions to fill that we want to kind of direct people towards. And then I was glad to hear about the work with Denver Day Works. You know, I'm a fan of them. And with DDPHG, was also curious about partnerships with kind of like healthcare entities, including Denver Health. So, I mean, I know you guys run the gamut, but those particular agencies, entities, you know, those are government jobs that we need filled. So just curious about those.
Yeah, appreciate the question. I mean, you know, we've been focused on healthcare as a larger industry for going on about a decade here, and a lot of that work happens through our Greater Metro Denver Healthcare Partnership. Mm-hmm. Again, just our sector partnership in healthcare, where that group is coming together, I want to say either bi-monthly or quarterly, and that group was instrumental in helping us craft the $24 million grant application that we submitted to the Economic Development Administration a couple years ago, because half of that was going to go to healthcare. Now we didn't get that funding, and so we're, you know, making the funding that we have work in that space and having to kind of spread that across. But this kind of sub-focus on behavioral health is new for us. Mm-hmm. And that's why we, you know, kind of anytime we're going to start focusing on a new industry or sub-industry, for us, it just always starts with employers gathering them together and understanding what the needs are before we start going out there and trying to, you know, recruit partners and identify training organizations and push dollars out there. And so that's the phase that we're at right now with behavioral health is we will be meeting on November 20 in next week as a third meeting for that sector partnership. And I mentioned workforce was just, it was the first thing that they talked about. And so we will be really digging into that. And obviously those are public meetings. So if you or any of your aides are interested in popping into those, that's an easy me forward. I mean, you will find out exactly what those conversations are. Obviously we can give you summaries and I can report back on that. But it's been exciting to see the number of folks that are interested in this. Obviously this isn't just us that thinks it's important. It is the industry as a whole. I think we had 32 businesses that are engaged in this work. So would just offer obviously me to come back and let you know how that progresses. Or if you or any of your aides have time, would love to have you in that.
Thank you. That's really interesting. And it's a new thing. And so I'm really glad to hear that you're leaning in that way. And obviously talking to employers first makes perfect sense. I wonder about some overlap because the Roadster Recovery Team has spent so much time surveying treatment providers that they probably have a pretty good and deep list.
There's a lot out there right now. Yeah, there is.
Yeah, so I would be curious about maybe them even coming to that meeting because they might meet some new providers, et cetera. And then the other thing on the more of the human services side, I would be curious when the last time is that you all were able to kind of loop with DHS and ask about funneling more people their way, because that seems like it's a big agency. They employ a lot of people, a lot of caseworkers, and that might be a good, growth area, similar to kind of the relationship you have with General Services or Dottie.
Yeah, and I mean, I agree completely. And our partnership with DHS, and funny as I'm talking about this, has been less about like serving the needs of their own workforce as to, serving the folks that are accessing their services. But I think we've got a great start with this partnership that we have with OHR, with the strides we've made to be a top four source for candidates there, that just opens the door for further conversations of like, all right, well now what does it look like to focus in on a specific agency, specifically one that maybe has some workforce shortages that are not allowing us to do the kind of work we need to be doing as a city. So we haven't got there yet from an agency by agency standpoint. And again, the lens of that partnership has been more about the folks that they're serving, but point taken for sure.
Cool, thank you, I really appreciate
it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councilwoman Gilmore, you're up.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Thanks, Tony, for the report out. I can't believe it's been 11 years. Want to really thank you for the support to train up the third-party inspectors for the rental license legislation. That was a huge opportunity for, individual businesses to increase their industry scope and get more work. And so really thank you for that partnership. And then also, with Councilwoman Lewis's leadership, the support around the Senior Tech Center at the Ari P. Taylor Building. It's exciting to see what the opportunities are with that site. Wonderful to work with you and Brett around that. And I wanted to find out about, in the far Northeast, we have Pepsi locating their North American headquarters, and then also Coca-Cola. Yeah. And so has there been conversation with them, or, those positions were supposed to be more tech heavy because they're probably looking at less individuals and more folks that have computer science or technical, because it's going to be a lot of machine operated sort of factory. And so just wanted to find out a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked, because we have been at the table with Pepsi from the word go. And again, when I talk about kind of the competitive advantage we have being in economic development, that's a great example, right? It's through Deborah Cameron's team and the kind of more traditional economic developers, that just immediate introduction, and we've been at the table with them for months. And you mentioned Brett. I wish Brett was here, because he would tell you every single thing that we're working with them. I want to say we're meeting with them. I know at one point in time we were meeting weekly with them. I don't know if we're doing that right now, but I would say what we're doing with Pepsi is a model for us for really any, I don't want to classify any employer, you know, certainly major employers that are doing expansion. So if I can, as a follow-up, I can provide a more comprehensive overview of what that partnership has looked like. I know we have agreements with them to host on-the-job training for us, which is a program that we can offer to pay up to 50% of a new hire's wages while they're learning what needs to be learned on the job as opposed to a classroom training. They have stepped up, and I want to say they hosted three summer youth. Kudos, Pepsi, for really being a model employer for stepping up and engaging with us. Coca-Cola, that does not has not happened yet, and so I'll follow up on that. And again, we will follow that model with Pepsi. But you know, that building, what it represents, the kind of future of manufacturing, and what we're trying to do with our Tech P program too. We're really building that pipeline. I love that you asked about Pepsi. Forgive me for not being able to give you kind of the detailed overview of that, but I will get you that in summary as a follow-up. They've been a great partner.
Perfect. That's really good to know. You know, we were concerned that folks from 80239 and 80249 might not be able to qualify for the positions, or, you know, we want to encourage folks to apply for those jobs that are close to home as well. And so, you know, really always looking at for development that construction careers model and where there might be inroads with that, with some of these large international corporations that we could, within our contracts, put hiring goals related to those specific projects. And so, you know, we've been successful with that in the past. My second question is about the broadband piece. And I know you're doing a lot around that, but when we're talking to like the Communication Workers of America and some of the unions that represent folks, I think that there's a information gap that maybe they're, or we're not doing a good job of explaining what sort of training is out there, what the opportunities are. And then they've also raised a major issue that, because I know you're working with all of the different agencies, that we as Denver might really be missing out on the fiber optics connections, because you can now do micro trenching when Dottie is out there resurfacing a roadway. That would be the perfect time if there was coordination at the city level that that broadband provider could coordinate with Dottie. And while they've got the street, you know, ready for construction, they could come in and actually micro trench and lay fiber optics, and especially within communities that have those deficits, we could get folks connected up a lot quicker. And so I just put that out there because I know you're talking with everybody, but that would be a huge, increase in folks, because we've got a lot of people who live in the community that they leave our community to go work in different communities to create that infrastructure, but they're never able to do that in 80239 or 80249. And so they're asking me, what's the gap? Why aren't we getting the fiber optics that we need out here? Because if they want it, the homeowner has to pay for that connection instead of us doing it in the public right-of-way and in our streets where it works best and you can access it. And so I know that technology is a big piece of all the work that you do around workforce development training, and so just wanted to plant that seed with you on it. And then my last piece is, it's awesome to see all of the agency partners and partnerships, and it would be awesome to see city council maybe on that list as well. And we have our brand new human resources person here, Deborah Luckett, and you know her because she is related to Michael Sapp.
Oh my gosh.
From way back when. Oh. So that, I just wanted to put that out there, because as we're talking about, you know, there are qualified candidates that live in the neighborhood that we're unable to hire because it's a degree that's required. Yeah. And sometimes that community information and knowledge is more vital and crucial than a master's or a PhD. It's so much more helpful in the council office. So I'll leave it to you all.
Sounds like you got another
talk.
Meeting on your calendar.
I'll say everything, but she's already got a fan club.
That's great.
So, but just would love to see where we might be able to go with that, or even temporary work if there's a grant or for summer help.
Yeah.
For council offices when we're super busy, we're going through the regular HR process, and where you have those youth positions, etc., might actually be helpful in the council office.
Yeah, I would love to see some more placements in your all's office in the summer of 25. So thank you for opening that door and. Yeah, I love that. And forgive me for not including you all in that all agency conversation, but would love to have you in there for a number of reasons. So it's nice to meet you. Big fan of your son. Tell him I said hello. And so, yes. And then I appreciate you planting the seed. And I'm a bit embarrassed, but I'll just be transparent. On the broadband, part of what I think was the innovation and the expansion that allowed us to receive another third round of $5 million for tech is we're bringing rural into that. Rural has not been a part of our partnerships in the past. We've kind of extended up the Northern I-25 corridor and partnered with Larimer and Weld and kind of our surrounding areas. This iteration of TechP is Metro Denver and rural. And so there's been a ton of conversation about that kind of work in rural because of the, and we just haven't really thought about that need here in the Metro Denver area. But your seed planting here as we kick that grant off in February, it will grow. I promise you. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, happy to make. I'll just make an introduction later on so that you can talk directly with them. So
yeah, please do. Thank you. Of course.
Appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. President Pro Tem Romero Campbell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Okay, you stole my thunder on that. Youssef, that's great. Good stuff. Okay, just put a point on it. Yes, young people and youth. I do have a question for the partnerships, and it's related to young people, but just kind of like that foot in the door and that pathway within Parks and Rec. I didn't see that specifically called out. So my wondering is again, I think the rec centers and working within Parks and Rec is often times a foot in the door, a pathway into the larger city system. I have a question about education, and I know we're looking at our city agencies, but I'm thinking about early care, child care workers going down an education teacher pathway. And partnerships with Denver Public Schools?
Yes, very important. We had a sector partnership around early childhood that is no longer meeting, but did a lot for us in guiding where we are training folks. That group, that was interesting. We brought that industry together and kind of what keeping you up at night and workforce was a little down the list. It was a lot of regulations and how can we do more home care. And so they did a lot on the policy side. And then for the workforce, it was really just kind of identifying those positions that they have greatest need. Again, full transparency here. That industry and that sector, especially entry-level jobs in that sector, are difficult jobs, can be low-paying in areas, can have high turnover. And so our focus has been less about pipelining folks into entry-level jobs and more about working with folks that are already in those entry-level jobs and upskilling them and providing pathways to other positions within that. But that's a really tricky industry that all other industries are dependent upon existing for their success. But the jobs, the majority of those jobs within that industry, they got some work to do that we need to raise the quality of those jobs, and that's been a lot of the work that we've been doing on our employer services side, and a lot of the conversations we had with those businesses in there is how can we raise the quality of jobs, which as you raise the pay, childcare becomes more expensive. Nobody wants that. So it's a really difficult mm-hmm. one that we are committed to continuing to work in, but it's just really unique when you look at other industries. Again, the dependence of everybody on that, and what we can offer our folks as a career pathway will take a little bit more work and a little more time.
I appreciate that. I think that's been the conundrum for a long time.
Yes.
It's been a conundrum. And I just appreciate the presentation. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you all.
Chair Lewis online, you're up next.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you for the presentation. I really appreciate it. I just have a few questions and I'll get through them pretty quickly here. So given the number of grants that you all have in workforce development, do you all write those grants yourself?
That would be wrong of me to say. Yes, with the assistance of our city grant writing partner. So what was previously, I can't remember. Thank you. JVA, Joint Vision and Action. And what is now Point B Strategies, we could not write these grants without them. So yes and no. They do all the technical stuff. They help organize all of the information, but it is myself and my team that are out there generating the content for them to help us to put it together in a manner that has people wanting to give us money.
Understood. Do you have someone in your team that's specifically assigned to the support of writing those grants?
You're looking at them.
That's you.
Me. I should call out Chris Berthume, who is the manager of our Technology Employment in Colorado partnership. Chris absolutely took the lead from start to finish on applying for round three. But Councilwoman Lewis, that definitely is one of the things I see as my role is identifying and bringing the right folks together and really kind of aggressively pursuing outside funding that can help us do the work that we're trying to do within the city.
Sure. Yeah, sure. Thank you so much. The second question is, you all mentioned that you work with a number of employers. And so I was curious as to what employers do you all work with and then how do those employers partner with DITO?
Again, at the top level number, it's over 1,000 employers who we work with. Again, caveating that, similar to our job seeker number flow, you've got that top line number where more than half of those are just engaging at the self-service level. And that's true for the employers. So of the 1,050 employers we're serving, it was about a 50-50 split. We've got about 500 of those employers who are just going on our website, posting jobs, and getting referrals through Connecting Colorado. Then the other half of those employers are engaging with us, again, I'd say at the staff-assisted level. These are the employers who are showing up to our job fairs. They're the employers that are participating in our on-the-job training program. They're the employers that are hosting a summer intern. They're the employers that are a part of our registered apprenticeship program. And so that list is long, Councilwoman. I definitely can get that to you, and we have that. And again, if there's kind of specific programs that you're more interested in, we kind of have that broken out. Like if you want to know the employers who are hosting our summer youth, we have that. If you want to know the employers that are coming to our recruitment events, we have that. So happy to provide that in as kind of broad terms as you'd like, or we can get a little bit more specific and let you know exactly what employers are engaging at what levels.
That's actually really helpful. I'll get you that specifically in terms of the breakdown. I think I just kind of wanted to better understand. In terms of those partnerships, because you mentioned that there was two ways in which you could partner, or two ways in which you all hire people, which is through the workforce development piece and those direct hires, and then you have the third-party services. And I was curious on both sides of those, what's your return on that investment when on the direct hires or the third-party services?
Great question. Again, would love to provide you some follow-up information because, I mean, you got my big ears popped up when you talk about return on investment. I think the best thing we can be doing right now is what is going on in this larger ecosystem, and that is quantifying our work and showing true value on return on investment. And so I would love to share that with this larger group. Because it's something that I'm really proud of, and I'm so happy we're doing as certainly Denver, but as a larger local area, because we have robust evidence and data that shows our programs work, and it shows they work better the more you engage with us. So I'd love to send you all these charts that we have, that what we do is we take this group of individuals who we're serving, we look at their wages 6 months prior to when they got to us. We're able to do that because of our system of record, because we get a direct data dump from the state unemployment benefits system, which is the specific tax records. This work doesn't have us chasing around people for self-attestation and calling up employers and saying so-and-so and then typing in the number. This is a direct data dump into our system where we're able to look at this group of individuals in whatever programs they're engaging with, whether that be our direct services, which we have information on, or those services provided by our partners. And we can show, and it's always this V, they're here 6 months before they got to us. And then at the time of entry, when they got to us, they're making considerably less money. And then what we can show is 6 months after we're serving them, they are at or above where they were 6 months before with a really strong wage progression up to 4 years. So we're tracking return on investment, not just in a 6 months after, 12 months after, but we're tracking this up to 4, 5, 6 years. And what we're seeing is data, is evidence that shows if you just do self-assisted or non-staff assisted services, it's going to take you longer to get back to where you are, and you don't end up making more than you do if you come into the workforce center. And then if you enroll in one of the programs, you have an even quicker line to success. So sorry, I can kind of geek out on this a little bit and would welcome a separate conversation where I can show you what our pre and post intervention wages look like, because I would say they're as strong as anybody's out there.
Great. And I would just add one more thing to that conversation. And I really appreciate the data that having the opportunity to be able to look at some of that data regarding the return on investment. I would also be curious as how that breaks down demographically when it comes to those diversity metrics. So not just race, but going beyond that. So age, the level of income, language, all of those things. I would be very curious as well as like those cross sections of data.
I wish I had my charts here. I'd show them to you. The youth numbers, it's fascinating. The steepness of the V's, where they are at before, where they end up, is fascinating. Varies greatly among definitely age groups. That's been what we've been able to pull out right now. But the system will allow us to isolate different demographics, different locations, all kinds of stuff. So Councilwoman, I'll follow up with you and anybody else who would like that information on that specific work we're doing around return on investment, because it's really important work to advocate for the work that we do. You got to show that it works. The way that you show that it works is through pre and post wages.
That's right. Thank you so much. And I just have a few more. I'll be quick. So can you talk a bit about the spectrum of collaborations that you have with other city agencies when you all are able to partner or they're able to partner with workforce development? Because it sounds like you have formal agreements with or you have a formal agreement between the airport and DITO. And I'm curious if there are other like less formal agreements when it comes to those partnerships with workforce development.
Yeah, I mean, they're all less formal agreements, with the exception of DEN and with Department of Transportation and Infrastructure, where we have service level agreements. And Climate Action, Sustainability and Resiliency, we're working through an MOU right now. Councilwoman Lewis, my desire would be, where we can, to formalize these relationships through MOUs, service level agreements. Again, we have that with a few, and the conversation on Friday as we come together and moving forward with that group will be to call out what we feel are best practices. And that's one of them, where we as agencies can come together and it's not a handshake or a you know, a virtual meeting. We say yes to things, that we take the yeses and we put them down. We sign off on those and we revisit those annually to ensure that the right language is there that really talks about the partnership. So outside of CASR, DEN, and Dottie, I would say the rest of them are informal partnerships. And as I'm saying that, now I'm remembering that I have another agency that I didn't list on there, which is Denver Public Schools, who we have a contract with to administer our Denver Youth Employment Program. So it is happening in pockets, but I love that you called it out because it's not happening enough. And we'd like to move that needle as we bring everybody together and talk about that.
It's funny you should mention Denver Public Schools, because that was my next question and final one. I wanted to know about the kind of engagement that you had with DPS beyond the events at DPS high schools, and what does that look like on the back end as well? And so it sounds like you might be able to get into that.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Denver Youth Employment Program is what has kept us connected last 6 years. Denver Public Schools has administered that program for us. We also were a part of the hubs, and are a part of the hubs. Our services are available through the hubs. We send out some of our workforce center folks when needed to those hubs. But you know, Denver Public Schools as a partnership, again, particularly with the Denver Youth Employment Program, that opens a lot of doors for a lot of other conversations for us. And so the fact that we have, again, to your point, a written contract that really dictates the partnership that we have with DPS is helpful. I mean, that's just one part of it. And I think there's still a lot of opportunity to have a more consistent presence at the schools. I think as I'm talking about this, I'm thinking that, you know, we're in the schools a lot, but it's really kind of this isolated time that will kick off in kind of February, March, as we're going in there and recruiting for programs. And there's an opportunity to have a more consistent partnership that isn't just focused around a summer youth program that we do together. So I think there's opportunity there for sure.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for the presentation. Those are all my questions, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Councilwoman. And Tony, Dito participated in the two apprenticeship outreaches that my office coordinated at Lincoln High School the past 2 years. Thank you for doing that. We had all the crafts unions out there giving demonstrations out in the parking lot, and it was very good to see you there, and I hope that you were able to make some headway with youth there. I had a couple questions before we go back into the round. I've read a lot lately about labor shortages that we're seeing in a lot of sectors. And so I'm wondering, is DITO looking ahead post January 20 and trying to see over the horizon as to what impact some of the policies that the new administration plans to implement could have on our workforce here, particularly the construction, Denver Construction Careers Program, that sort of thing.
That Work Ready, a lot of the other programs that we have stood up specifically to serve priority populations. Yes, is the short answer to that. I mean, it at this point is somewhat speculation, although we do have, you know, a 4-year set of, you know, kind of what to look out for. But yeah, that is squarely in our purview here is what does the new administration mean to our work? I mean, kind of outside of the administration, just that sentiment of looking over the horizon, I think is an important one that I want to call out, because, you know, we don't want to be, and I don't think we are, and if we are, we don't want to be in the help wanted sign chasing, right? Oh, you need that? Well, let us try and, we need to be ahead of this so we can have time to prepare folks, upskill them, get them the credentials they need. So really the question that we ask employers, of course we ask, you know, what do you need right now? That's important. But I would say equally as important is, what are you going to need 6 months from now, 12 months from now, and beyond? Mm-hmm. That is the information that really allows us to be most effective. So kind of in general, we are always approaching these conversations, particularly with business and industry, with a forward thinking, what is next year, what is 2 years, what does 5 years look like? Tying it back down to the administration, you know, for us, I think one of the main things that we are tracking is our foundational funding at the federal level is the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act. That piece of legislation has been up for reauthorization. It made it as far as the Senate and then got pushed back to the House. And it doesn't look like they're going to be moving on that in the lame duck session. So that is absolutely critical to what that new legislation looks like, to how we are set up foundationally. The new legislation, if you want to do some research on that, is called the Stronger Workforce for America Act. And so that is one that we have our eyes totally fixed on, that is absolutely will be affected by the new administration, the new makeup of the House and the Senate. And so I'll save my kind of opinions on that, but let you know that not only at the Denver level, at the state level, and I get to be a board member of the U.S. Conference of Mayors Workforce Development Council at the national level. So you've got a bunch of me's from all of the other cities, kind of the large cities across America, are coming together quarterly. We'll be in D.C. together in January, and at the top of that agenda is that.
It's very important, obviously, to, we can't see over the horizon. We don't know what's going to happen, of course, but we know what our needs are. And it's, I guess it's hard to plan when you know what your needs are, but you don't know what the supply and what the resources will be.
Which I think underscores like the importance of us to write grants, to pursue dollars, to, you know, not be so reliant on the federal government as making up this big chunk of our funding pie. It's on us to, you know, I don't want to shrink that number, but I want to shrink the percentage of the pie that is that, so we are not just riding that roller coaster of federal funding. And, you know, whether it's this administration or the next one 4 years from now, we need to do a better job and continue to diversify funding to insulate us from those dips.
Good idea. Thank you. And last thing I have is, I mentioned earlier that there used to be a workforce development office in, I think, in the Bear Valley Shopping Center where my office is now, and back in the day. And I know that we're pushing a lot of things out into the virtual world, online. Most of our applications are coming in online. In fact, I don't know if you can apply in person for a job in Denver.
Few and far between.
Can you?
No.
But when I see where your workforce offices are, Airport, Montbello, and the Webb Building, I see that one thing we're missing is that federal corridor that is the lower leg of the inverted L. And I'm curious if you've thought of, if DITO has thought of having some satellite operations out in the community.
Yes. Again, short answer, 100% yes. One of the reasons why we approach the work that we do in this hybrid approach to service delivery is so we can try and fund organizations that are in those areas. And so we're tracking that, not just where our workforce centers are, but where our funded partners land as well. And so I'd love to share that with you, just our heat map of where our dollars are working and where those organizations are placed, because we do see these organizations that we're funding as extensions of us, and certainly as avenues to get to our services that might not be available through that partner. So that's the my kind of first answer to that. But as far as our physical presence there, would love to have a workforce center in every corner of this city. We are constrained by our budget. You know, as you have a workforce center, the work that we're doing now and continue to do is like, okay, for every workforce center, that means this needs to be available. We need to have that adequately staffed, or there's no sense in having it. And so when I talk about the airport, not asking you to fund our people, but free space, any support that's there to support the staff that needs to be there, I would love to engage in conversations to get creative around that because, you know, right now we don't have the funding to be able to staff any other kind of full service centers. But I think about it all the time, especially when we're talking about the library. What does that look like too? Like, you know, for instance, and I don't want to waste, like Las Vegas is in all libraries. They call workforce satellite offices and all. What those are not people. They're kind of corner spaces reserved for workforce. They have all of the stuff loaded up on there. They have some AI working where there's a chat feature. And so I think, not that we're not thinking about how we can staff full-time these other centers, I'm also thinking about how we can utilize some of this technology to increase our physical presence. So it's not a great answer. I mean, I wish I could tell you, yeah, we're looking for four new spaces and we got the staff for it, but it's a conversation I'd love to have with you individually if you have some ideas of what that looks like in your council district.
Sure, thank you. Funding is always the missing element.
It is. It just is. It's tricky.
Before I go, Councilwoman Alvedra just wanted to follow up, but before I leave that, Committee Chair Lewis asked for some ROI reporting. Could you send that out to everybody, every member of council?
You bet.
As well. Thank you. Councilwoman, go ahead.
Thank you. The last thing I just thought of was that I know there's a lot of young girls in my district that do look up to Denver Fire Department, Denver Police Department, so safety was one I didn't see mentioned.
Yeah.
And I know that they want to get those more young local women involved in their forces. So I think that could be a missing piece that I recognize. Let me check my notes really quick. I think there was one more.
And I'll just say it is a missing piece. That's one that I can't say, ooh, I forgot, we're a partner. We're not. So I appreciate you calling that out.
Awesome. And then to echo my colleague, Councilwoman Parity, mental health professionals is something I hear about all the time. Definitely would like to hear more about what's going there. And then the last thing is, this may be kind of random, but I know you mentioned Dottie, but trash. I've heard they've had a really hard time having and retaining staff for trash pickup. So compost, recycle, all of that.
Yep.
And I guess Xcel Energy has been on my mind too. How are they giving back to the community? So those are just my last ideas. Thank you.
Certainly.
Thank you.
This is great.
There's no one else in the queue, Tony. I don't know if you have any closing remarks.
I feel like I've talked long enough. My intent wasn't to take the whole hour and a half here, so please forgive me.
I'm really impressed.
Kind of sorry, not sorry here, because this is so great, and your guys' feedback, I promise I will take that feedback. We will action on that feedback. I'll report back to that. And again, I could not be more excited about what's happening starting on Friday and to be able to come back to you all and start talking about the impact that we're making, not only as a division within an agency, but citywide across all agencies. Just when you start putting together, I mean, like we were just doing this with CASR. If we started just reporting, it's gonna be in the hundreds of thousands and just really impactful data and excited to do that. And we'll look forward to the next time coming in front of you all kind of talking about this less as a agency by agency breakout, but as a collective kind of workforce unit that we all are together. So I thank you all for this whole time. Thank you all for your advocacy. I mean, you all, like this group is such champions of this work and supportive of our work, and it means a lot to us. It allows us to do more of it.
Thank you. I'm very impressed with how you were able to extemporize your entire presentation from the top of your head without looking at notes and just putting the slide up. But for those who weren't able to see, if you were watching online, Tony did this whole thing just looking at us and talking about it. So obviously you've got a deep familiarity with every one of your programs, and we much appreciate that.
Thank you, sir.
There are five items on consent that are going to go forward unless there's any objection right now, going once, twice, three times. There it is. We are adjourned. Thank you.